So good to see everyone here this morning, and we're very happy that we have the opportunity to gather together on the first day of the week in order to worship God and to sing songs of praise and to study from His holy word. And that's what we're going to do at this time. There is still time for you, by the way, to submit your nominations for elder. That is ongoing through this evening, and so if you haven't done that yet, you can still contact one of the committee members and give them your submissions. And that will end at 8 o'clock tonight. And then this week, the committee is going to be looking at those names along with the elders and thinking about the qualifications of the men's names who have been submitted. And then next Sunday morning, we will announce those names, Lord willing. That is, if there's no complications or anything, and then those names will be announced and we'll be given an opportunity to think about those men and their qualifications. And I'm sure Brother Johnny Thomas will have more to say about that next Sunday morning. So let's continue to work on that and to continue to move forward in selecting new congregational leaders. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at the topic, Pursuing Treasure. And our text is going to come from Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 24. Let's take a look at that, and then let's talk about pursuing treasure. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 24. The context is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And he is trying to help us understand what the character of citizens of the kingdom of God will display. And so as he's thinking about that, he's thinking about the relationship of God's people to treasures and riches and the things that may be accumulated upon the earth that are highly valued by many people in this world. And so in verse 19, Jesus has this to say. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So let's think about these verses this morning as we think about pursuing treasure. You know, I love a good treasure movie. And perhaps you've seen a good treasure movie at one time or another. You know, the treasure is always buried somewhere, right? And then there are those who are going in pursuit of that treasure. And so the treasure has a location or a place. But then, usually in the course of their pursuing this treasure, they have a map of some kind. Now, in some movies, the map is a written map. You know, in other movies, the map is more hidden or cryptic, and they got to decipher, you know, what the signs are in order to get to that treasure. And so there's a map. And there is always a competition for this treasure. There's the good guys who are trying to find the treasure for good reasons, right? So that they can use that treasure for good purposes. And then there's the bad guy. And he's only out for his own self-interest. And he's trying to use this treasure to do some bad things with it, right? And so the good guys and the bad guys. Well, Jesus speaks about treasure here in these verses. And he's talking about a place where these treasures are located. There's treasure on earth, and there's treasure in heaven. And he also talks about not only a place, but also in regard to the treasure, he talks about a map. That is, a way to get this treasure. And that map that he has in mind here is our own eyes and what we see and how we interpret that the things in this world and go to pursue them. And then he talks about the competition for this treasure. And on the one hand, you have God, who's the good guy. And on the other hand, you have Mammon, who is the bad guy. Mammon is what? The possessions and things of this world that are trying to prevent us from serving God. And so three things in regard to a good treasure, pursuing treasure. It's buried somewhere. There's a place for it. Secondly, there's a map for it. And third, there is a leader that is going to lead us to that treasure. And who will that leader be? Well, let's think about these three points this morning as we think about pursuing treasure. First of all, to pursue treasure, we must have a place. That treasure is somewhere, and we need to go get it, right? That's how we think about pursuing treasure. There is, on the one hand, the treasure of the earth. And Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." There is that earthly treasure that Jesus describes. And that earthly treasure is characterized by corruption. It is destroyable. It is treasure that can be destroyed by moths. It is, and that would have reference to fine clothing of some kind. It's treasure that can be destroyed by rust. And that has reference to coinage of different kinds. It is treasure that can be taken away by thieves. And thieves will steal that treasure. I was watching a good treasure movie a couple of weeks ago. And in part of the plot was that some thieves had broken in and taken the treasure, and now it was located somewhere else. And so the protagonist in the movie had to go look at a different location, you know, for it, because it wasn't where it was originally at, because thieves had taken it. Well, you know, what Jesus is trying to tell us here is this, that nothing on the earth lasts. And the Bible is trying to teach us this as well. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, 24 through 25, "All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." So there is that which is on this earth, the treasure on the earth, and it goes away. And even human beings, even people will deteriorate and go away. But what is going to last forever? And that is the word of God and God's will and God's teaching and God's people. Nothing on the earth lasts. And ultimately, everything on the earth is going to be burned up. In 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11, Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" So the earth and all of its treasure one day is going to be dissolved. It's not going to last. It's going to burn up. And that's why Jesus says, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, because they ultimately will be destroyed." And so there is the place of the earth. And is that where we should go searching for buried treasure? Or should we go searching somewhere else in heaven? Jesus says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Now let's think about this place for a moment. That is the place of heaven. being where our buried treasure lies. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house should be destroyed, we have a building from God, or a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now here's a place where there's some true treasure. That is heaven, where we won't have an earthly house that can be destroyed, but rather a building from God, a place whose foundations are secure and eternal, a place where we can keep our treasure forever and never have to worry about it being corrupted or stolen or being eaten by moths or anything like that, because that place holds treasure that is going to last forever. Peter talks about that inheritance that is laid up for us there. 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, and we talked about a couple of weeks ago how our inheritance, even in this life, we may have an inheritance promised to us, but even that isn't guaranteed, because things can happen to an inheritance before the death of those who are going to give the inheritance, and that inheritance might not be there. Brother Johnny Thomas told me after that lesson a couple of weeks ago, he said that he's seen those bumper stickers, you know, on the back of people's RVs that say, "We're spending our children's inheritance." And you see, that's what happens sometimes. That inheritance gets spent, or it gets left to someone else that you didn't think it was going to be left to. And so inheritances can go away. But in heaven, there is an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that doesn't go away. It's reserved there for us, and it is going to stay, and it's never going to be taken away. And so Jesus then turns to us after telling us this about where our treasure should be, not on earth, but in heaven. And then he talks to us about our hearts. He wants us to think about our heart. Where is our heart? Is our heart based in the earth, or is our heart based in heaven? Because that is where our life is going to be. Where your treasure is, he says, there your heart will be also. If our treasure, that is the thing that we value the most, if that's on the earth, well then our heart's going to be on the earth, and it's going to be thinking about earthly things all the time. But if our heart is in heaven, if our heart values eternity more than it values this temporal life, then our heart is going to be pursuing matters related to eternity. Matters that have to do with you and me and our friends and our family and one another and our behavior. Oh yes, where our treasure is, that's where our heart is going to be. And so we should keep our hearts with all diligence, because from our hearts springs our lives. And what kind of life will we live, and what kind of life will we make? It all depends on our heart and what's in our heart and where the treasure of our heart is located. And so God wants us to put our treasure in heaven. And so pursuing treasure, there is a place for that treasure. And where is that place going to be? On earth or in heaven? But then secondly, in pursuing treasure, you need a map. And you know, sometimes these maps in these treasure movies, they can be good maps or they can be misleading maps. Sometimes in these treasure movies, they find a map, but it's the wrong map. It's a map that leads them away from the treasure instead of to the treasure. And sometimes the maps are corrupted and they don't have all the pieces, and they need to go find the other pieces of the map in order to find the location of the treasure, right? Well, there is a map that we have to find the treasure. There is a genuine map, and we want to follow that genuine map. And what is Jesus talking about when he says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." Well, the idea here, and some translations say good, and I think newer translations might say single. And the idea is having a single-minded goal here and not being divided. You know, a treasure map has a single path to the treasure, right? And if you don't follow that path, you're not going to get to the treasure. Thinking about the movie Treasure Island, for example. In that movie, the map says, go to this spot, right? And walk so many paces. And then turn to the south and walk so many paces in that direction. You know, that was the idea behind the map. The map tells you how to get there. It focuses you on the treasure and the single path that you may take to get to the treasure. And if you mess that up, if you get confused, you don't take the right amount of steps or you go the wrong direction, you're not going to get to the treasure. There's got to be a single-mindedness in order to get that treasure. And that's what Jesus is saying here. The lamp of the body is the eye. Look, you have eyes, and your eyes let in light. And that light is going to present to you a lot of different things. If your eye is single, that is, if it's good, if it's able to focus on the one thing that you need to focus on, then your whole body will be full of light. And of course, Jesus is speaking spiritually here. He's talking metaphorically. He's talking about how we lead our lives and letting our lives follow that singular path that's going to take us to heaven. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's the singular path, you see, that's going to get us to that treasure. And we must have our mind then set on those priorities, those right priorities, and following the right path. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All of these earthly things that we think we need in this life that we don't really need, they will be given to us if we follow the path. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's the right path. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's the right path. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things on the earth. We've got to be single-minded in following the right path. And when we're single-minded, we will have a genuine treasure map because it will take us to our goal. On the other hand, the treasure map may be corrupted, and the treasure maps that are corrupted will not take us to the treasure. Matthew 6 and verse 23 there, Jesus says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. That is, if you let in many things into your eyes and let many different paths in and try to pursue all of those different paths at the same time, there's going to be confusion. You're not going to get to where you want to go. Your whole body is going to be full of darkness instead of being enlightened as to where the treasure is and finding the treasure. You're going to be darkened. That is, your vision's going to be obscured. You're not going to know what the right way is. And there's going to be a lot of confusion. In Ephesians 4 and verse 14, Paul wrote there that Jesus gave the organization of the church so that we should be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That is, this is the darkness that we would be following if we didn't have Jesus Christ, if we didn't have him to lead us and guide us, and if we didn't have his faithful ministers, elders, deacons, teachers, evangelists, to help us to stay on that singular path, we would ultimately be in darkness. We would be tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind. This is a picture of someone who's in a tiny little boat in the middle of the ocean in the midst of a great hurricane. No control over one's life. whatsoever. James told us in James 1, verses 6 through 7, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so a corrupt map is going to give us double-mindedness. We're not going to stay focused on what we need to focus on, and we will not get to the true treasure. Now, Jesus has some things to tell us about the eyes here in this section. He says, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Our eyes. And then he says, if therefore that light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Is our mind's eye set on the right priorities? Are we focusing on what we need to focus on? Is our vision set on God's map and the singular path that would take us to eternity? We need to be thinking about where our eyes are in that regard. Where is your heart, on the earth or in heaven? Where are your eyes? Are they on that which is single or that which is corrupt? And then finally, in order to find a treasure, you've got to have a good leader. You know, and usually in these treasure movies, there'll be one person who has the knowledge, right, to decipher all the treasure map and the knowledge of the ancient languages that he needs, or the knowledge of the encoding on the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, you know, and the National Treasure, if you've ever seen that movie. And he's got that knowledge that helps him to decipher the clues and understand how to arrive at the treasure. There's a leader, and the leader comes forth, and he leads. But then there's also the anti-leader, the villain, who's trying to stop the leader. And he's the one who's set against the leader. We have two leaders here as well. There is, on the one hand, God. God is our leader. He's the protagonist. He's the good guy. He's the one who has all the knowledge. He's the one who's leading us in the right direction. He's the one who deciphers the map for us and tells us what it means so that we can get to the treasure. No man can serve two masters, Jesus says. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6 and verse 24. You see, these two leaders are in competition. And to follow one means you don't follow the other. And to follow the other means you don't follow the true leader. God versus mammon. Now, what is mammon? What does this word mammon mean? It just means material possessions, physical objects, physical things. It could be a lot of different things. Houses, lands, cars, treasure, gold, silver, money. All of that falls into mammon. It's the material possessions of earth. Well, we can't serve both God and mammon. We've got to pick a leader and decide who is going to get us to the treasure. Jesus knew who to serve. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, he said to Satan, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And so Jesus leads us. He guides us. He tells us who to serve, and we're to serve the Lord God, not the devil, not mammon. And Paul writes in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to the Lord. Look at this, which is your reasonable service. What leader are we going to serve, God or mammon? We want to serve God. Do not be conformed to this world. There's mammon, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. On the other hand, there is the bad guy. There's the good guy and there's the bad guy. And the bad guy here in this treasure hunt is mammon. And the Bible says that this bad guy will lead you to your destruction. You know, usually in these treasure movies, somehow, some way, the good guy wins and the bad guy always loses, right? But he doesn't just lose the treasure. Usually he loses his life because he's been pursuing this treasure in an evil way. Well, that's what God is telling us also about the world and all the things in the world. If we pursue the world, it's going to end in our destruction. The Bible says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Colossians 3 and verse 5. And so to serve mammon is to be an idolater, is what Paul is telling us here. And then also in Ephesians 5 and verse 5, he says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Serving mammon is idolatry because it's in direct competition with God. And then Jesus talks about the hands. What are we going to do with our hands? Who are we going to serve? He says you cannot serve God and mammon. You got to use your hands for something. What are you going to use them for? For God or for this life alone? Who is the leader of our life? Are our hands busy trying to gain worldly possessions, or are they busy bringing more souls to Christ, trying to gain the true riches, the heavenly possessions, which will last forever? God wants your hands to be serving Him. And are we using those hands to dig for the true treasure? Pursuing treasure. That's what Jesus talks about here. And we need to think about how we're pursuing treasure in our life. There is a place for that treasure. It's either on earth or it's in heaven. Where is our treasure located? There is a map for that treasure. We're either going to follow that map diligently and singly and pursue it, or we're going to get corrupted. And we're not going to follow it, and we're not going to find the treasure that we're looking for. And there is a leader. Are we going to follow the good guy or the bad guy? Who is going to control our heart? Who is going to control our eyes? And who is going to control our hands as we pursue treasure? I hope this morning that you will resolve to pursue that heavenly treasure, to let your eye be single as you do it, and to let God lead you, so that you will gain the eternal riches that are waiting for us in glory. Maybe this morning you haven't been doing that, and you want to make a change. You understand the impermanence of this world, but you want to live forever in eternity. Well, this morning, if we can help you with that, then we'd be happy to. Maybe you'd like to become a child of God through hearing His word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Christ and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. There's that single path that Jesus gives us that we can follow to get the true treasure. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church because you've departed from the map and you're not pursuing that treasure anymore. You need to get back on track. Get back in that step that you need to get into that will lead you to where it is. We can help with that also. And whatever we can do to help in that regard, we're ready. You can make it known right now if you come forward and let us know what your need is. We'll be happy to help you while together we stand and while we sing.